Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic. I'm Mari Mitchell Porter, your host, and I'm so happy to be with you today. I have a couple of announcements of things that are going on, mostly locally. I have my new Law of Attraction group with meets Monday nights at Panera Bread on 441 in Wilds from 6:30 to 8. I would love for you to come and join us. We talk about how to take our thoughts and move them into a positive way, which also has a positive reaction on our life. I don't know if you know this, but whatever we think about creates our emotions. So our thinking leads to the way that we feel. So it's very important to be able to train ourselves to think the thoughts that make us feel better. And that's one of the things we're going to be talking about next Monday night. If you want to join me, 6:30 to 8 o'clock at Panera Bread on 441 in Wilds. I also just published my first book of poems. It's called The Cuban Heart. And it's a book of poetry about the Cuban experience, both before, during, and during Castro. There's no after Castro yet, unfortunately. And you can go right to my website, lifecoachmari.com. That's lifecoachmari.com to get one of those. And the most exciting thing that I have coming up is my new workshops. They're calling the No Limits Living Abundance Workshops. They'll teach you how to bring abundance into every area of your life, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, you name it. You can come here and learn the techniques that actually work, and you can work in your life. They'll be starting August 20th, next Wednesday evening. It's online, so you can do it right from the comfort of your home or office, and you can get all the information also at my website, lifecoachmari.com. Today I have a very special guest, and I'm very excited to have him with us. He's going to give us such valuable information. His name is Dave, and he's the executive director of Together We Heal. It's an organization that provides counseling and guidance for those who have suffered from the trauma of childhood sexual abuse. And he also works to educate the public to raise awareness of the sexual predator method, something that's so highly needed. As a survivor of child sexual abuse, Dave understands the importance of informing parents and of how to better protect their children and help survivors begin to heal. Thank you so much for being on the show with me today, David.
Thank you, Mari. I appreciate the time.
I wanted you to tell us a little bit about the work that you do. You know, we've spoken quite a bit. I know that you're so passionate about what you do, and you started this organization, and it's exploding. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you introduced me, I am Dave Pittman. I'm the executive director for Together We Heal. And really, I have to back up a little bit to tell you how it really started, because it began from the time I was 12 to the time I was 15. I had been sexually molested, abused, and raped by the youth minister at my church.
Wow.
And this man has since gone on to molest at least 8 others just that I know of personally. In the church that I was at and 3 other churches. And he still walks free today due to what is called statute of limitation laws. In my case,
oh my
Georgia.
Gosh.
But the same laws still exist in almost every state. There's only about 8 or 9 states that have eliminated them. But because of this, you know, I just felt as though I couldn't say anything, and I kept this a secret for almost 30 years. Mm-hmm. And the only way I felt like I could do that was by self-medicating with narcotics. And those narcotics led to drug addiction, arrest, incarceration, and even almost death on 3 occasions.
Wow.
But after finally getting clean, I was able to acknowledge what had happened to me and was able to get the help I needed through counseling. And so I began to write about it, and a friend suggested, and I was just writing, you know, kind of journaling on my own. It was just completely non-altruistic. It was just to help myself. But a friend of mine said, you ought to start writing about this on a blog. And at the time, I really, to tell you the truth, I'd never even heard of a blog. And so I did. Started writing, and that's what I called it, was Together We Heal. And I began to see just an influx of fellow survivors contacting me, asking me questions. Where could they get help? Where could they find therapists? And so I started working on, whether it was LinkedIn or Facebook or just different groups to find therapists who would either donate their time or give it such a reduced rate that we could figure out a way to pay for it with donated funds.
Mm-hmm.
So that was almost 3 years ago. And now we have counselors, life coaches, licensed therapists on three continents, all the way from Los Angeles, California, in the U.S., to New Delhi, India, and literally everywhere in between. And as you mentioned, so that's what we do. We provide counseling, group therapy, workshops, presentations to help current survivors of childhood sexual abuse and to also to help educate parents, adults, clergy, anybody who is of age to better protect children from these sexual predators.
That's fantastic. That is quite a story. My goodness. And is there something being done to try to change the statute of limitation laws? Is there anything that can be done?
I'm glad you mentioned that. There's a very good friend of mine. Her name is Marcy A. Hamilton, and she has a real easy website to remember. So if your listeners have a pen or just out of a web computer, if they will go to SOL-reform.com, just think of it as statute of limitation, SOL-reform.com. It keeps it updated as to what's going on in each state all across the country. So you can even track what your legislature is doing or not doing to help protect children.
That's really good information. I didn't know that there were states that still had statutes of limitation as far as that. So that's something I've just learned right now. So
yeah, there's
I know
only,
that in,
there's
in,
only, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, there's only 8 or 9 states that have eliminated them. So still 40-plus states still have them on the book, laws that protect predators rather than children.
Right, that's insane. Okay, so I know that your other passion is to inform, to teach parents. And I wanted to ask you, what's the most important thing? Of all the things that you teach, what do you think the most important thing for a parent to be aware of is?
Oh, that I can tell you that immediately. That is to begin early and to normalize the conversation. And by that, I don't mean start early in their early teens or early. I mean early, from the time they're talking. And maybe even before, if there's a way that you can, if you're communicating with your child, in other ways. But the earlier you start, the better you're going to be able to protect your children. And by normalizing the conversation, a good friend of mine, Rachel Grant, has a point about this. She said, all right, so how is your day? How are your classes? Has anyone made you feel uncomfortable today? Has anybody touched you inappropriately? When you make a series of questions like that, normal conversation, then your children are not going to feel uncomfortable in the future talking about it. So that's what we mean by start early when they are little children and normalize that conversation.
Okay, I love that. So it's like an everyday conversation and the child will be completely comfortable saying, God forbid there's anything, because they've been talking to you about it for years or for as long as they can remember. That's interesting. I never heard anybody put it that way. Lovely. Very nice. Thank you for sharing that, Dave. So, I know how passionate you really are about this, and I know that it's been a surprise that you started that blog and you were telling me about the tremendous response. I want you to tell the listeners about the response, because I don't think most people know, I didn't when you told me, how prevalent this is, how widespread this is. So tell them a little bit about how you told me about you started the blog and the enormous response that you got. and how, you know, and the far reaching and the far reach that you have now.
Well, I was sitting reading one morning the statistics of who is reading our blog and from where they're reading it. And when I sat down and actually did the numbers on it, it was astonishing to me that, because currently there's 196 countries in the world, and we have now been viewed by almost 78.8, so 79% of people in one of the various countries in the world have viewed our website. And when I really sunk in that basically, you know, 80% of the world, that's just the people who are able to access it, not to mention the countries who aren't even allowed to reach out to the internet to find things. So what that told me was this is a worldwide problem. And what we already know, just in the United States, 1 in 3 girls and 1 in 6 boys are going to be the victims of sexual abuse by the age of 18. That's 20% of our population. And that's unless we start to do more to prevent this from happening.
Right, and I know that the subject is one where it happens all the time and no one is made aware. Nobody tells and no one ever tells. And they may go to their deathbed without having ever told anybody anything. And so those statistics can't even be brought forth because no one has ever said anything. And that's just astonishing. What's the main message that you want to bring to the public?
Well, it would actually be a couple of things. The first thing, and being a survivor of abuse, this to me is the one that impacts me the most, so it's going to be a little more personal, is that if you are also a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, for you to know that you're not alone, that there are ways to get help that don't require money or access to insurance, and that groups like Together We Heal are here for you, and that we will help however we can. And it doesn't cost them a penny. They don't have to worry about their anonymity. Don't have to worry about their privacy being broken, that we will protect all of that and that we're here for them. And the other is something you touched on and asked a follow-up question about, and that's the statute of limitation laws. They have got to be eliminated in each and every state so that we can prosecute these sexual predators. Because like I said, as it stands now, there's only about 8 states that have laws on the books eliminating them completely, and that's just simply not enough. You know, when the laws protect criminals rather than children, that's just not right. And the only language that politicians understand is reelection. So you have to demand of them, we want this law or we'll find somebody else who will vote for that law.
Okay, so what can we, to be a little bit more specific, what can we do to help that along? What can we do to get these laws put in place?
I know it sounds trite. And it's one of those things that it actually works if you do it, but most people don't. You have to actually write and call your legislature. And if you do that, and not just you, but you get all of your friends and all of your family, if they get enough calls and enough letters, enough emails, then they take action. But they won't if, you know, just 1 or 2 people call in. Or if nobody calls in, they're certainly not going to do it. So it sounds like an old message, but that's how you get it started, and that's how you make changes, actual changes.
Fantastic. Very good. So what I love the most about your organization, and I know there's others as well, is that somebody who's been a victim, someone who has suffered through this, can get help. And if they can't afford it, they could still get help. And I know that that's one of the things, being able to afford a counselor or a therapist or any kind of help you need has gotten in the way of so many people getting the help they need. So thank you so much. I think that's absolutely fabulous that you've created this thing. And it's kind of snowballed. It was like this little snowball on the top of the mountain, and now it's just huge, the impact, but in a good way. The good impact
absolutely.
You're making waves all along. All around the world, which I think is absolutely fantastic. What do you think the first step that someone who has suffered this type of abuse, What do you think is the first step that they must take? Because I know you say go get help, but it goes beyond that.
Yeah, it does, and it's a good question. I kind of liken it to my challenge with addiction. Where when I was in an active addict, as we call it in the program, admitting I had a problem was the first step. Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of along the same lines. From the hardest thing for me to do, and that's all I can speak of, is what it was for me. The hardest thing for me, as I said, I kept it a secret for almost 30 years. So the hardest thing, which was that first step for me, was actually admitting and acknowledging what had happened to me, that I was sexually abused as a child. And I think it's difficult for most to acknowledge that and to admit to it and open up, because the pain of trauma runs deep, so deep. Mm-hmm. And just admitting it happened can oftentimes be that first step that leads towards a path of healing and hope.
That's great. Very good, David. Okay, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And I want to remind the listener that you can call in. The number is 347-826-9586. And we'll be right back after we hear from our sponsor.
I'm Christina Weber. I help Catholic mompreneurs live authentically by fully engaging the power of their calling, earning more and less time, and getting back to enjoying their family. And that's why I'm offering you a complimentary audio download of my newest CD product, 7 Steps to a Regret-Free Catholic Biz Mom Living. Stop feeling guilty and confidently living what matters most. Access your auto immediately at www.catholicwomansguide.com/regret-free. That's go to www.catholicwomansguide.com/regret-free to stop feeling guilty and confidently live what matters most.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. Today we have special guest David Pittman, Executive Director of Together We Heal, an organization that provides counseling and guidance for those who have suffered the trauma of childhood sexual abuse, and they also work to educate the public on this matter. Dave, I wanted to ask you something. From a parent's point of view, from being a parent, what are signs that a parent can look for that their child is being molested? Are there signs? Is there something that a parent can see, can know, can sense?
The term is what we call grooming, and it's when there are certain things that the predators will do to begin to take up space in a child's life. And we actually do have on our website, I did a big article on this, and just to kind of give you a couple of the points, sometimes a child will also often say that they have a special friend, quote-unquote, a very special friend.
Mm-hmm.
And if you begin noticing a child who's substantially older than your child, or an adult, whether it's a teacher, a coach, who is paying. There's one thing to, have a favorite student, have a favorite athlete, a favorite, coach has a favorite, athlete. Well, that's all happened. But when they really begin to spend a lot of time, or even giving them gifts, little special mementos, that's another thing to be aware of. Talking, oftentimes they will begin talking to the child about sex, or even asking them about their parents' marital problem. Another one is if they give the child alcohol, cigarettes. Those may seem like in some ways something benign. Oh, that's just Mr. So and So. He gave him a beer. Ha ha ha. No, these are all things to look out for. And then I would say, most importantly, if another adult asks to take your children or child out camping, hiking, but it's something that takes them away overnight and there's no other adult supervision, that's a big red flag.
Okay. That's interesting to know. So you have to, so if, let's say it's the Boy Scouts, there should be several troop leaders that go, not just one troop leader, for instance.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, one of my best friends is a Boy Scout leader, and he's told me that at least in his group, troop, whatever they're called nowadays, they've been retrained so that no adults are supposed to be without eyesight from another adult.
Mm-hmm.
Day or night. That they're never supposed to be alone with a child, ever. So if you're little boy comes home and says, yeah, well, you know, camp leader so-and-so went off by ourselves, you can know that according to the actual Boy Scout regulations, that leader did something wrong, and he's doing something he shouldn't be doing.
Very interesting.
I just learned that myself this summer.
Yeah. Well, as I've heard of people, you know, sending their kids off. My kids didn't belong to Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, but I've heard of people sending their kids off, and a lot of times it's a troop leader. So we have one adult with, I don't know, six kids, six boys, or one adult woman with six or seven girls. So I never thought of that there should be a second adult, whether it's a parent or another troop leader or whatever they want to call
absolutely.
Them, to be along
absolutely.
On the trip. Yeah. I know.
And
it
doesn't matter whether – I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, it doesn't matter whether it's a troop leader or a church leader, a synagogue, a mosque,
right.
whatever your faith. It doesn't matter because, like I said, that's what happened with me. My abuse happened at the hands of someone that we should have been able to trust above anyone else, someone who is
right.
representing my faith, you know, my God. And
that is so sad.
So, you know, that's who you should feel, you would think, feel the safest with, to send them overnight or on a trip or whatever. But unfortunately not. These are the positions that pedophiles and sexual predators put themselves in. Teachers, leaders, you know, youth ministers, pastors, whatever you want to call them, they all put themselves in a position of authority over children for a reason,
mm-hmm.
so that they have better access to the children.
Right. It's their plan. They've already planned this ahead. They have a very specific
Absolutely.
Plan to be able to prey on these children. Very interesting. Now, another thing that can be extremely touchy is when it's a family member or, you know, your parents' best friend or somebody that they're so close in contact with all the time. It could be a neighbor. It could be, you know, even a neighbor who babysits them. So, again, with parents, we don't want them to become completely crazy and obsessed, and although I was with my kids. But how do we as parents, what do we put into place to keep this from happening?
Well, I'm going to be brutally honest here. I don't think there's anything you can ever do that will 100% always prevent. I don't think that's humanly possible. But
okay.
I'll go back to what I said earlier. I do believe this, that if you begin early enough, talking with your children and normalizing the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you begin helping them see and talking with them in ways that are age appropriate. So as a for instance, if you start using words like sexual predator and pedophile and monster with a child, well, they're going to have these images in their mind of, you know, the creepy monster at the corner with, you know, with nobody goes near.
Right.
You have to educate from a very young age that this can be anybody, your brother, your father, your uncle, your grandfather, your teacher. You have to let them know that anyone could try to take advantage or touch them in a way that's inappropriate or in a place that's inappropriate. And there are a plethora of books, and we've got links to them on our site, where they can learn from any age how to talk with their children, from 2 years to 20 years, you know, that you can be able to instruct them and teach them, if anyone makes you feel this way, if anyone does this, this is who you can call to. And then set up what we call our, I forget there was a movie, but they called it the circle of trust. And so if you build this little circle of trust, they're, okay, here's four adults that you can call on. Here's their numbers. Here's their name. And if somebody down the street or somebody at school or anyone, because a lot of times kids will talk to their aunts and uncles or they'll talk to a neighbor even before they will talk to a parent. So
yes.
If you give them that, if you give them that as a as an offering, say, look, if you don't want to talk to us, then call Uncle John, call neighbor Susie, and
okay.
They already know. We've already talked with them, and they're going to be your part of your circle of trust.
I love that.
So
that
would
That's
be another way
thing.
That you could help them out and better
yeah.
protect them.
Yeah, that's great. Because I know one of the biggest fears I had as a child was that I would get in trouble. You know, if I do this, if I say this, I'm going to get in trouble.
Right,
like that.
Right.
You know, what's my dad going to say or my mom going to say, and they're going to blame me for it, or I wasn't supposed to be over there, and now this happened to me, and now I'm in trouble. So I love that circle of trust. That's fantastic. So, Dave, tell us where to get a hold of you, your website, how we can get all this information, this wonderful information, whether it be as parents to protect our children or for anyone who has suffered this.
Absolutely. It's real simple. It's togetherweheal.org, but there's dashes in between each word. So it's together-we-heal.org. And
okay.
They can follow us on Twitter at together_weheal. And if I could also give out the number and our email if you want me to.
Yes, absolutely.
My number, our number is 754-234-7975. And, of course, you know, we're on Facebook, causes.com, LinkedIn, all of the regular suspects of online media outlets. Or if they just, you know, can't, just Google us, Together We Heal, and we'll pop up first thing.
Fantastic. Very good. Okay, and that website for the person, that lady who's working on reforming these and getting these statute of limitation laws
absolutely.
Changed?
Yes.
Can you tell us that one again?
S as in Sam, O, L as in Larry, S-O-L, dash, reform, O-R-M.com.
S-O-L-reform.com, so we can check those out. Fantastic. Dave, one more thing. You know, we're running down on time. The half hour goes like lightning.
Yeah, it does.
But when there's so many things to talk about, but I think we've covered the main. But one last thing you'd like to say to a listener. Maybe someone who has suffered this, and maybe they've been keeping it quiet for 30 years. Maybe they've been keeping it quiet for 40 years, and they know that this is hurting them. What would you say to them?
And I can't stress this enough. You are not alone, and we're here for you. That is the whole reason why we exist. That's what started all of this, was me feeling as though I had no one else. And that I was the only person in the world that this was had happened to. And when I realized that I wasn't alone and that others had been through the same thing and that they were there to help me, it's what began to turn my life around. And so that's what I can't stress. If you're out there and you've been through this, we truly know what you've been through because we've been through it too. And we're here, plain and simple.
Very nice. That's beautiful. Yeah, that's so true in so many things. When we're suffering through something, whatever it might be, we always do feel that we're the only one. You know, we're the only one that's happened to. And
absolutely.
I know that with this type of issue, there's a lot of self-condemnation and, you know, and feeling that you did something wrong and blaming. And a place like yours is a place you can go where there's no judgment. There's no blame. There's just love.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's been wonderful having you on the show. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you all for listening. The Dare to Be Authentic. We'll be back next Wednesday, 12:30 to 1. Have a wonderful day.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Show Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell Porter.